This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 999 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eschbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. Bunch of guests today. We got City Beer Tours, which will come on by, see what they're about, driving you around so you can experience some fun breweries. And we'll check in with Rocky Mount Mills, the latest going on. A little graduation, a little change in how things are going at Rocky Mount Mills. So that'll be a fun catch-up. What have you guys been up to?
What have we been up to? Wayne and I started a new podcast.
The usual.
You did start a new podcast.
We did.
Because that's what we need is just a couple more white dudes talking on microphones.
Well, I mean, you know, we do the best we can. I mean,
I believe at the rate we're going, about 80% of all white males will have a podcast at some point. That's where we're headed.
That's probably accurate.
Yes.
And then some of us will have two or three or four like you.
I'm just kind of skewing it a little bit more ethnic, but I mean,
we're just trying to catch up to your number.
I'm just saying. I just think it's funny.
Oh, so we're a joke.
I'm working on another podcast for this later this summer.
Well, we're working on three more. How about that?
I know you guys are very busy.
Carrie, live, work, play. Check it out.
You guys are all about that content now. But you guys aren't eating Cincinnati chili.
No, I'm not. Skyline chili is awful.
Is it?
Let me just throw it out there. I don't put cinnamon in chili.
But do you put cinnamon on cinnamon? Because shout out to Jim Kelly from Mix 101.5 who put Skyline chili on Cinnamon Toast Crunch and ate that.
Most Americans out there right now am a huge Bengals fan.
Yeah.
But Skyline Chili is where I draw the line.
Okay. Are you guys looking forward to the inspirational, trying to make you cry Clydesdale commercial that's going to run on Sunday?
No,
what? They're trying to make... What?
Oh, yeah. Budweiser's always doing that thing where they're trying to pull at your heartstrings to drink beer. That's what I always love.
You know, Gary V was involved for the last couple of years in the Bud ads. So.
Yeah. Was he?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's been very instrumental.
Look, just bring back Bud Bowl. That's
bring
all I ask.
I don't need,
you know, like how America's future is tied to some horses pulling beer. Like, I don't need that inspirational message. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I like the
That's what I'm going to get on Sunday.
The Chevrolet commercials are better. The Chevrolet commercials are better.
All right. The Doritos commercials are always
absolutely
really good.
That's true. So we have a very busy podcast today. So let's just go ahead and get to it. But I just want to remind people. Speaking of podcasts, we have a bunch of them because that's where we are. Not Carrie. That's not a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast
Network. Full disclosure.
It's not.
It's not.
So, but it can be if the price is right.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not.
For sale here, guys.
So you can check out Wine and Dandy, which is the Capital Broadcasting Podcast. It talks about wine. There's the ACC Panic Room podcast now.
Is that you and Brownlow?
That's me and Brownlow.
Nice.
That's a Capital Broadcast.
It's not just for Facebook Live anymore.
Not anymore. But this Carry Live Work Play business, that's not a Capital Broadcasting podcast.
Rule of sevens, we got to say it two more times.
Just saying. So I feel bad. My COVID issues have kind of like backed us up. So
Multiple times.
And City Brew Tours was supposed to be on a previous podcast.
Like 6 months ago, Joe.
To highlight what they do. Mike and Davin are here from City Brew Tours. And you guys are taking the concept of hitting a bunch of breweries and making it just easier on the person who wants to drink. Don't worry about Ubers. Don't worry about DDs. We got you. That's what City Brew Tours is about.
Absolutely. We're trying to sort of break that beer bus mentality and create more of an elevated, all-inclusive sort of craft beer experience here in Raleigh. So,
yeah, we also not just make it easier on people who want to drink beer, we make it easier on our brewery partners as well. It's not a lot of hassle or work on their side. It's a lot of working with them, promoting them, making the job easier. All they really have to do is open the tap four times and we talk about how great they are, and we're on our way.
All right, so let's kind of go through the process for booking a City Brew Tour. So I'm assuming you work in partnership with a variety of breweries. How many breweries are you up to, and how many breweries do I get to pick?
Absolutely. So right now here in Raleigh, we're at about seven, and we visit three to four, depending on the type of tour you're on with us. So definitely a limited selection right now, but we're ever expanding. We just launched in the middle of October, so we're really, you know, basically a startup, But the partners we do have, you know, we have great relationships with, and we're working to cultivate some more very quickly. So a lot of great stops already featured. We've got Crank Arm, Mordecai Beverage Company, Gizmo, Compass Rose, Triangle Beer Co., We've got Clouds, both their restaurant downtown and their taproom location, the actual brewery. So,
really. And how many beers do I get at each stop?
Anywhere between three and four, usually four. And okay. We try to pull some extras
for full you. Beers?
Yeah. They are samples.
Okay.
Yeah. Which equate out to
about a pint.
Yeah, you're getting about a pint per stop.
But it depends on which stop you or which tour you go on. Sure. We have our shortened tour, which is three stops, and you get a snack that comes on the van. Mm-hmm. And then there's our upgraded, our regular tour, also known as the original tour, where there's four stops, but there's also a meal involved as well. So we go to a restaurant, whether it's a restaurant that serves craft beer or a brewery that serves food,
like
and we do our meal and beer pairing as well.
So how long is this tour typically?
Anywhere between 4 and 5 hours generally.
Okay.
And we can go longer for like private events. That's good to mention is that, you know, if you're doing a private type of event with us, let's say a birthday party, bachelor party, corporate event, we'll pick you up at any location. We'll drop you off at any location. The times are very customizable. So we can really make our experience a part of something bigger that you're trying to plan.
Okay.
If you're trying to do a multi-event sort of long day with your buddies.
It's nothing gimmick in terms of transportation. I don't have to pedal anywhere.
Not
in the back of, you know, some goofy, it's like we're just in a nice van.
A very nice van, fully air conditioned, high roof. You can stand in it. It's
perfect.
Great.
Yeah. Perfect.
Not that we advocate standing in moving vehicles.
Absolutely not.
No, of course not. Of course not.
You had mentioned this is not like your standard beer bus. So what makes it different?
I mean, honestly, it's for one, you can't drink on the van. So that's the first rule of thumb, but really we're more of a higher experience.
Yeah.
It's more of an educational type thing. We're not going out to get trashed or to, you know, go crazy. It tends to happen towards the end of the tour sometimes, depending on the person. But it's really an educational type thing where we take you in the back, we show you how beer is made, the entire process, teach you about how it's made and basically the whole process all the way, like Mike mentioned earlier, from grain to glass. So you get a little educational thing while having fun as well.
Okay.
So
are you if you're going to four different breweries, you're not giving the same spiel certainly at every one, right? No. How are you mixing that up?
Yeah, that would get tired. So we generally start on hot side, then we'll go to a second location, talk cold side. Third location, we may talk packaging, or if it's food, we'll do a meal and beer pairing, kind of pair some food with some beer, give you some tips on doing that. And then finally, generally at our last stop, people have seen enough bright tanks and enough fermenters to have had their fill for the day, so we'll just drink at the last location, not really do a tour generally. Unless people want it, we're always happy to take you through and point out a mash tun for the fourth time that day. But, you know, everybody who's in the industry knows, doesn't change too much from place to place.
That's interesting you bring it up, because I've kind of gotten to the point where, you know, you've been on one brewery tour, you've probably done them all at this point.
Absolutely.
And they all have an interesting story, and there's the equipment and things like that. Some are done really, really well, and it's a fun experience, and that's what you guys are trying to do here. It's beyond just here's how XYZ works. You're really trying to just have a nice communal experience with everybody.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we make what's great about the tour at the beginning, we always go out and we learn people's names, where they're from, what their favorite beer style is. And then depending on that, we kind of cultivate the tour based on the people that are there, their experiences, what they've tried, what they haven't tried. And then when we go from stop from brewery to brewery, we always try to start with our least flavor or
we'll start on something light,
something lighter, and then goes towards something that's a little bit stronger in flavor.
So if I wanted to book something like this, are there, you know, specific times of the day? Is it just kind of open-ended?
So great question. Yeah, we've got a few different products available. The easiest thing to do if you're just looking to go out and have a good time and not put too much planning into it because it's not an event is just to book one of our original tours on our website. We're very millennial friendly in the sense that you don't have to talk to anybody. You just go online, click some buttons. You can book any Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. We run every weekend. Tours start at 11 and at 5, so we have a morning tour and an evening tour. And again, they last from 4 to 5 hours, depending on the product. So that's the easiest way to just jump on board, do an experience with us. But again, we also really are working to cultivate being the thing to do for private events in the city. So if you're looking to go out for a birthday party, corporate event, bachelor, bachelorette party, we're perfect for that. You just need to talk to us. We'll coordinate the pickups, the drop-offs, all the breweries, all your beer, open bar, catering. We can do it all. We really can plan an all-inclusive event. You really don't need to do anything. So
open bar, dude.
Uh-huh.
You guys have Schlitz?
Let's
whatever's maybe, free.
Maybe you guys can do like an anniversary of UMBC beating Virginia.
We should talk about
that. That'd be great. That would be great.
We should talk about that. Yeah, I mean, you got three.
Still got all my gear.
Yeah.
On this table.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy.
There is.
Yeah, I went to the
a lot
Duke
of brain power. It is the Honors University.
Yes.
I went to the Duke Virginia game earlier this week, and I was kind of laughing at all the Duke students that were holding up UMBC signs, and I'm thinking to myself,
"Well, don't forget."
Well, they don't. Well, Duke fans don't forget. As though Duke doesn't have their own, like, y'all lost like a 15 seed. What are you talking about? Anyway, what cracked me up was like, guys, none of these dudes on Virginia were even there when UMB, like,
was it that long ago?
Yes, it was that long ago. Like, there's no,
it's
been a while, man. Like, those guys. Like, they have, like, it doesn't affect the players in any way. They're like, UMBC.
It affects the alum and the alums. And
I guess that's the part.
You know,
that,
you
but the
know.
The thing is, it's like
students
they won a championship
don't care.
After that.
Students never care as much as the hardcore adult
I know,
fans.
I
that's
know.
How it works.
I know. And that's why, and what also cracks me up, too, is
and
like.
Players never care as much as the fans.
You probably don't get, if you're a Virginia fan that's bothered by that, you don't get a national championship redemption story without UMBC, okay?
Yeah, so you're welcome.
You're right. So you actually, you guys should actually get
you're
a
welcome,
ring.
Hon.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Off to Ocean City. Anyway, appreciate you guys dropping by. Cool concept. I like that it's a little bit more elevated, and I'm not doing some sort of embarrassing gimmick while I go drink my beer.
Absolutely.
That's always great. City Brew Tours, go check them out. Thanks for dropping by.
Hey, thanks for
thank
having
you.
Us.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
We have all the guests today, apparently.
Oh, act like you're put out by this.
All of them today.
Joe from the Beer Podcast, let's do your job. Come on.
Okay, we'll bring everybody in. So let's have a little fun and catch everybody up on what's going on with Rocky Mount Mill. This is my favorite part of the conversation when we talk about the brew mill at Rocky Mount. It's a Capital Broadcasting production.
Full disclosure.
Austin, I didn't realize this. I've never met Austin, but Austin and I are coworkers. Hi, Austin.
Yeah.
Howdy.
So you can, like, send each other, like, swag through the courier, the office courier,
technically,
right?
Technically, if I go into Outlook right now and I put Austin's name, it will automatically come up with an email. And I didn't even realize that.
Another reason why Outlook is the best.
Yes.
Outlook superior
low key,
to Gmail.
It's low-key good. We got Cam from Hopfly, who still has a space and a deal with Rocky Mountain, but you guys have kind of graduated from the incubator to, like, you're out in Charlotte now.
Moving on in Charlotte, yeah, we're opening up in a couple weeks down there. So we are we're full bore. This beer we're drinking now was our first batch brewed down there. But like you said, we still have our tap room in Rocky Mount. We still have a production space there, but we're transitioning a lot of our production down to Charlotte.
And then we got Ethan from Barrel Culture, and you guys now have a space there in Rocky Mount. It's not this is kind of, and we'll talk about this as the conversation goes about the evolution of what Rocky Mount is about from an incubator space, which was the original idea, to now having kind of outposts for established breweries, and you're one of them, and you have that space there now, right?
Yeah, we've been there for a little over a year and a half full speed there.
Okay. Like
2 years kind of part-time, but it's been really good for us as far as expanding from when we just started as a mixed farm brewery with nothing but a sour beer warehouse, and now we were able to do clean beer and make all the things that everybody wants to drink right now.
Okay.
On top of the stuff that we want to make as well back in Durham.
So I guess, Austin, I'm going to ask you this part about, because of the facility, it allows for, I guess, for people who might not be aware, let's walk people through what that facility is about. It allows for contract, I guess maybe not contract, but you get to use the equipment, but it also allows for, say, Barrel Culture and others to maybe even collaborate while they're all there. So what's kind of the idea about where things are right now with that space?
Yeah, totally. So recently we've been kind of shifting focus to our alternating proprietorship program.
Okay.
Where breweries like Barrel Culture, who already have a facility, but maybe need or have different needs that they'd like to be met, can move into our facility at Rocky Mount and bring on a certain level of production that is completely up to them, right?
Okay.
They can lease X amount of tanks and be able to brew X amount of barrels, you know, and pay accordingly to that.
I was just going to, just to clarify. So what, the way it started is not the way it is now. And this is kind of the evolution we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly.
So that frees up space. It's It's like contract brewing, but you're doing it on your own.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yep.
That makes sense.
So yeah, because the Mills is so cool, it's, you know,
it's contracting entire space.
Exactly. And the Mills being an entire campus and having all of these different restaurants and housing opportunities, breweries from across the state, you know, could staff somebody there full time to run production while still having maintaining their level of production at their original facility.
And I guess too, if you know, once those needs are met and maybe they want to go in a different direction, you talk about rotation. I guess it's for the consumer, it's good to go back because you don't, you know, somebody new could be taking that spot and they could be doing something new there as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
The bigger difference too with the alternating, at least the way I view it, is the original breweries that are there, the incubator breweries and how they're permitted there. Mm-hmm. They're allowed, that's where their brewer's notice is. That's where their TTB permit is. And they're allowed to have tap rooms and, As an AP brewer, to get in now on the AP thing, you have to have a TTB somewhere else. You have to have a brewer's notice already. You have to already be registered in this, you know, in the system. And we're not allowed to have a tap room necessarily there.
Okay.
Are you allowed to in the future? That's one of my questions. So the interesting thing is, so we've got Barrel Culture on this as part of this Rocky Mountain Mills venture podcast, right? But you can't get Barrel Culture beer on the campus. Is that correct?
Yes and no. So if we ever did a tap room in Rocky Mount, we wouldn't be able to do it out of the brew space. And like, you know, Cam's is not out of the brew space.
Right,
it's
right.
It's run into a full, you know, full-fledged thing. But what they are trying to do right now is, I know that Goat Island Bottle Shop.
I was going to say, there's the bottle shop there.
Right.
They put in a new or six taps?
It's an eight tap, yeah.
Eight tap cooler box that's going to be dedicated just
to mill breweries. Well, that's a great idea.
So there is a spot that you
can
go out there and get what people are making.
I was going to say, that's the easy solution because I know the bottle shop's right there. It's just a matter of whether or not you're actually selling packages or out of some, you know, tap.
Well, and so, it's perfect. You talk about collaboration. I mean, that's every brewery involved then and the bottle shop selling the product. That's a nice little model there for people to go in and be like, oh, well, let's see what's on tap from Barrel Culture or Spaceway or wherever. How many breweries are involved now in some form in the brew mill, Austin?
Yeah, so we've got eight breweries there right now, four of which can serve there on campus.
Okay, so four have a tap room
that
they can serve, and then you have four of the alternating proprietorships.
Yep. And those four are Koi Pond, Tarboro Brewing Company, Mythic, and Hopfly.
Okay. Got it.
Gotcha.
Now, specifically about Hopfly, Cam, you've been associated with Rocky Mount for a few years now. I mean, like from the jump, right?
Yeah, basically from the jump. So when we opened up in November of 17.
Okay.
So we're talking almost closing in on 4.5 years now.
So, you know, this is an interesting, to me at least, from a business standpoint, you know, brewing out of there for a while, what was the process to finally decide, all right, it's time to leave the nest, so to speak, for you to go to Charlotte and everything else?
Yeah. Time to fly out of here.
Stinky. you know, it was just like, it was originally like a 3-year incubation thing.
Okay.
Or, you know, could even have been quicker. And I think what we learned was like, A, we loved Rocky Mountain. We wanted to be there a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And B, it just takes time too, you know, and if you want to go after traditional financing to fund an expansion, that process starts early and it takes a lot of history. So, you know, saying you're going to start there and then 3 years be out of there is hard. So, you know, we've been pedal to the metal, and for us, it was, you know, as much as anything about just being able to continue to grow our brand from a beer quality standpoint, a breadth standpoint, and an experience standpoint. And, you know, for us, the ability to, you know, layer on an additional facility and experience on the other side of the state was...
Yeah, I was going to say, why'd you go to the other side of the state?
Well, you know, we looked all over.
Yeah, why Charlotte? Come on, I feel like jilted.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Chapel Hill, went to college at Duke, and loved Durham, and I always thought we'd be in the Triangle.
I was going to say, you took over the old, I know it was a pop-up type thing.
Yeah.
At the tobacco campus in Durham.
Yeah, so that was fun. So we always, honestly, we thought we'd be here.
Yeah.
Warehouse space and the right industrial space was hard to find. We've been looking in the Triangle for 3 years.
Interesting.
And we didn't find it. Got a very unique opportunity in Charlotte that brought us down there. And I think, you know, additionally, we, you know, in my mind, we have amazing customers all over the triangle. We have amazing retail partners with the bottle shops and the retail establishments that we work with. So, you know, sort of, you could argue it both ways, but I mean, for me, it's like, we've built an amazing following here, and we have incredible retail partners who help build that. And we have a flagship location in Rocky Mount that's only 45 minutes away. So you kind of combine all that, and it made sense for us to try to spread out a little further in addition to some of the specifics of what made this unique deal
very cool.
Right for us.
Yeah, so you got a great deal from what I've been able to gather and through the grapevine, and obviously from
Wayne knows all.
No, I really don't, but I know you went into an existing space where there was a brewery that decided to not brew beer any longer. They were going a different route with something else they do. So you fell into one of my favorite spaces in Charlotte. So what's happening in Rocky Mount? You've got the kind of the standalone tap room there. Is that going to continue to operate?
Yep. So the standalone tap room is full speed ahead, and we still have, like, we've actually now transitioned from incubator tenant to alternating proprietorship tenant. So we've moved our brewer's notice down to Charlotte, and we have a lease on brewing space up there. And honestly, you know, we're trying to get online down in Charlotte. We're trying to figure out how we can best utilize our space in Rocky Mount to augment our production down there. So we've got, you know, 930 barrel tanks down there and some 120s that are pretty to look at, but aren't doing us a whole hell of a lot of good. So, you know, Rocky Mount is still a phenomenal place for us to either use as a, you know, essentially a pilot facility, a specialty facility. There's a lot out there that we don't have down in Charlotte yet. So we're still, you know, while we're taking our bumps and bruises, getting Charlotte up and running, we'll figure out exactly what the best way to position production in Rocky Mount is.
What do you see the timing on Charlotte to actually get up and running and
so
production?
We're, production's full on. We're 100% down there now. Okay. Tap room's opening in 2.5 weeks.
Okay. Cool.
So we're close.
Soon.
Very close.
Since you spent so much time in the Triangle, how is Charlotte different? I've heard they got a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte's bigger. It's got a bigger city, a little bit of a bigger city feel. I mean, the biggest difference is that it's got like a little more of just that classic like hub of activities. You have Uptown Charlotte, and off of that radiates everything. And I love the Triangle for this, and it's just a unique thing, but the Triangle is like the definition of urban sprawl to me, right? I mean, you talk about all the different communities, all the different spaces, and there's so much diversity and so much cool stuff to do.
Are we just going to act like Ballantyne doesn't exist?
I was going to say, Charlotte's not much different.
Are we just going to act like Ballantyne doesn't exist? The Carrie of Charlotte? Come on now.
No,
if we're talking about straight uptowns, downtowns, there's a difference. Raleigh's old school classic architecture, been around forever.
Yeah.
Charlotte is, you know, it's white collar people. It's banking. It's, you know, it's a total different feel. I always like to say Charlotte has no soul. You know, Raleigh's got a soul. Charlotte's got all these other things happening, but it doesn't really have a soul.
They're trying to change that, though.
But it's hard.
I would argue that from like the craft beer standpoint, I feel like Charlotte is.
I won't disagree with that at all.
I would feel like Charlotte is right now like maybe two steps ahead of the Triangle.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing a great job of creating that soul for Charlotte.
Well, I mean, the light rail system.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's my general attitude and my experience of going to Charlotte. Because, you know, for work, I got to go to Charlotte plenty of times. And what I've noticed is, to what your point is, Raleigh's always had a character to it. The Raleigh characters, all right, well, how does the craft beer fit into the character?
Yeah,
of
I totally agree with that.
Blank space with Charlotte, which the breweries have stepped in to kind of help create that stuff. So that's why I agree with you, Ethan, in that I've been a little bit more hyped to go to some of the Charlotte breweries and what they're doing with the spaces versus what we've seen. Not that good beer is not being made here. It's just a little bit of a different vibe that I enjoy out in Charlotte.
Well, I mean, if you go back and start just looking at awards that have been won over the years, I think Charlotte's going to still outrank Raleigh by a long ways. But certainly the feel, the light rail makes it easy to move around the city and go to different places. I was up there, I think, in October and November and hit like 11 breweries in a day and a half and loved it. I mean, the buildings, the spaces, everything that they're doing up there, there's some really cool things happening. Then you drive outside of town a little bit and you know, you've got the smaller breweries, and there was one I went to, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was a little small space, but it was fantastic. And a week or so later, they won an award, I think, at GABF. So, for city itself, not the beer culture, the city itself, I think, is it's cold to me.
I'm excited about the growth of Charlotte, and, like, I'm very much rooting for Charlotte to get CBC here in the next 5 to 10 years. Nice. I really think it's the town. If as North Carolina craft beer people, like, we should really be rooted for Charlotte too, because I think that's the town that if we're going to get one of those big, you know, massive national events, it's definitely going
to
be there.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the hotels to support it. They've got the convention space to support it for sure. Yeah,
and you look at these massive, like, not even these breweries. Like, if you go to like Heist and what the size, the scale of what these breweries are going to be, they can support these massive events as well. It's it's really impressive what's kind of going on up there in the beer world.
And they have the Thirsty Beaver.
I've heard Mick Jagger hung out there and nobody noticed. I heard that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just upset that we missed Mick Jagger. I missed Jagger by a week. I was very upset about that. Very upset about that, because I was hanging out at Thirsty Beaver the week before. Oh, well.
But don't take my feelings, Charlotte, is cold, and that I'm not happy for you, Cam, for being in Charlotte and for taking a great space. I love the beer community up there. I really do. When I went up there, like I said, back in October, it was fantastic. And
Uptown.
It's one of my favorite places to go for a in-state beer tour.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. I mean, I grew up in the Triangle, and I had this – I've always had this sort of – I'm going to call it a little anti-Charlotte chip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just – people in the Triangle think the Triangle's better. And
well,
it's
it is. I mean,
it's been incredible, you know, getting to know the city and getting to know the brewers. And I mean, to Ethan's point, it's, you know, the brewery scene is significantly more mature.
Yeah.
Just you know, more heritage breweries, more of them. And it's competitive. And that's a big reason why we wanted to be there, because that's, you know, that's the pond we want to try to
iron
swim in, right?
Sharp like, and iron.
Exactly. Yes. So we're excited.
And he also wants to be in the same town as LaMelo. We don't have a LaMelo.
We don't.
You know?
Yeah, we got Charlotte FC coming up in a couple of weeks. A lot going
on. Yeah, Aho, like, just wants to play table tennis in his garage. He's not LaMelo, man.
I'm going to see LaMelo Luka next month. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun.
I'm more curious about, because you're taking Unknown's former space.
Yep, correct.
So it's very close to the stadium.
Yep.
What kind of game day event? You're going to have two seasons now, not just Panthers season. Charlotte FC is going to be playing at Bank of America Stadium,
and then
right?
There's Ponzi scheme season, too.
What?
MLS. Is
really?
Yeah, it's a Ponzi scheme.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
It is.
Okay.
They make money off expansion fees. Just saying.
Well,
anyway,
but if I get
the
three
only,
teams
no, no,
and
no.
those
yeah,
three teams exactly, get
right,
three teams,
right.
we'll all make more money.
Right, right.
Yeah, but like...
David Tepper ruined it for everybody with the expansion fee he just paid.
You've got cool opportunities to take advantage of some of that game day vibe.
100%.
I'd imagine you're going to take advantage
of. Yeah, absolutely. We're excited. I mean,
march to the stadium and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. We got all sorts of... We got some fun stuff planned and some fun stuff still
you
to plan.
You need fun stuff, because it's not like Sam Darnold's going to give you anything fun.
No, it was you know...
We're talking soccer right now, Joe. Come on.
I don't want to go
They got
there.
Two cams. Does Charlotte have enough? I know Charlotte's got a lot, but did they have enough for two cams?
No, they don't. Only one cam can survive in Charlotte.
That's your grand opening.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you just troll on. Cam Newton the whole time. I'm the Cam who has beer.
Well, they have multiple cams at Hot Fly as well, so.
Yeah.
They're in the multiple cam business.
Metaverse cam style.
I was going to say, into the camverse.
I think they're going to have the number one game day spot pregame in Charlotte. That rooftop that looks right down the street onto the stadium is going to
be fun.
Especially what they've done to it. I have seen the process of it. It's going to be phenomenal. So.
Yeah, that's going to be fun for y'all. So that's going to be very, very cool. Just hopefully the Panthers get their act together.
I know. You brought beer here today.
Yeah, I did.
And none of it's hazy so far.
I know, man.
I could not be any more
proud.
Do
you have any in there?
Yeah, I got a lot.
Oh, shut up, Ethan. You brought Crunch Time, which is my go-to, but you brought an English Mild.
Yeah, we brought an English Mild.
And nobody drinks English Milds.
An English
Don't
Mild,
you know this, Cam?
A West Coast, an American Lager, and a single Hazy. So
what?
Yeah, you know, times are changing.
Beers we drink. Awesome.
Bringing you what we've been enjoying.
You've been
drinking.
Doing basically a West Coast per tank or what? Like,
and thank you.
Yeah, have you been? You've been pumping out some West Coast
stuff.
We have,
yeah. I mean, we've seen
regularly.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen our like. I mean, we used to be probably 90% hazy to 10% West Coast a year ago, and we're basically 50-50 now.
Oh, that's the best news I've heard.
It's the West Coast Revolution.
Which is crazy. Thank God, man.
It's like full on, and it might even be tipping more in favor of West Coast.
I'm so happy to hear that. I'm looking forward to what people are going to be, and any of you, please chime in, but I'm looking forward to what people are going to be doing with West Coast styles. I think they had gotten, I mean, remember back in the day when like Pallet Wrecker and all those big, the IBU race, we called it, and they kind of took over. How bitter can we make this beer? How much can we throw into the boil that can kind of mess with your taste buds? They don't need to be like that.
Right.
And if you look at some of the West Coasts that I'm seeing right now are even more of the traditional, like Sierra Nevada. They've got a little more caramel, a little darker malt bill, build up a little bit more sweetness in them too. Yep. So the West Coasts are like hazies. They're trying to do different things to them, so it's not just one or two
right.
perceived types of beer.
Yep, 100%.
And that's been awesome with you coming out with multiple West Coast styles.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I've talked about this on the podcast before with regard to like hazy IPAs, but it's fun for us because we need reps to make better beer, and it's been really incredible for us to, like, we get to brew a lot of West Coast, we get to tinker every single week. We talk about what we're changing, and we pick our, you know, at least for us, IBUs. It's been like, all right, well, let's keep that constant. So let's screw around with kettle treatment with salts. Let's screw around with grist, and let's screw around with dry hops. But like, let's get IBUs to a whatever. Call it 60 IBU.
Yeah.
Level.
What are you keeping yours? I'm seeing a lot of West Coast. Quote West Coast, staying around that 60 to 70 range right now.
Bro units.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's right where we are. We're targeting 60.
And and your ABV staying around 6 to 6.5, 7.5, something like that?
I'd say seven generally is what we're shooting for.
That's super comfortable for your palate, right? The lower you go on ABV, you're going to lose sugar, so that bitterness is really going to shine through.
Bitterness
and vice versa.
Through,
if you go too low on bitterness and too high on sugar content, it's going to be too sweet.
Right. And we're keeping our hopping rates the same as our hazies. So we got a lot of hop material going in there. So, I mean, you need some malt body. You need some sweetness.
Right.
You need a little bit of booze just to kind of help balance all that out as well.
So a little bit on barrel culture. What are you guys been working on?
Well, I mean, we're joining. Like I said, a couple of years ago, we joined the clean beer game.
Yeah. I know you made a joke. You know, you brought two bottles, which I'm taking that imperial. That's mine.
That's the perfect example of it. Is this bottle the sour bottle? It's a wild bottle that we produced in Durham.
But you joked. You're like, yeah, we still make those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a whole long conversation about the future of mixed firm.
Sure.
Mixed firm beer in the beer world right now.
Yeah.
But it's something we really like to do, and we've been doing it since day one. Oh,
and there's a dedicated market for what you do.
Yes.
With that mixed fermentation.
But it's also something that we've seen that is starting, that's decreasing and ever more steadily. It's continuing to decrease. And it's...
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's because we're making, you know... We're making really stupid, heavily fruited kettle sours that were pasteurized. But that's just one part of the problem. That's what the market is asking for.
Okay.
The smoothie sour, the heavily fruited kettle sour, smoothie sour is...
That's what people want.
That's what people want right now. Okay. And that's... When people are associating sour beer right now, I feel like that's what they're pointing at in the industry.
And that's not what I do.
And it's not necessarily what we... It's not necessarily what... It is, you know, it's hard to explain, like, when you say, oh, that's our clean beer. We're still making sours in our clean beer because they're not mixed fermentation cultural sours.
I'm claiming this one, guys. You can't have
it. Whoa. All right. So do you do the smoothie sours?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like them? Real talk. Nobody's listening. Do you like drinking them?
I love to drink them. I think they're really good, and you should go out and buy one today.
Okay. Look, yeah, Adam. What do you expect?
That's
Adam?
Like asking the dude if his kid's good looking or is his kid ugly. Hey, how do you think that kid looks? Oh, he's a higher bro.
It's not necessarily my favorite.
It's got a market. It's got a market.
It's got a personality.
It's got people that love it, and they're going to keep buying them. I just wanted to know if you man, brewers brew beer all the time. They don't drink.
I drink
that's
a range, dude.
Everyone's a Boilermaker with the Shadow Bourbon drop today.
Maybe that's my problem. I started with like real sour beers, and I was at Bond a few weeks ago. It was probably a couple months ago now. And Witt had some smoothies. I had never tasted one, but I have cracked open one of my kids' Danimals before that wasn't completed at their lunch, and I literally couldn't tell the difference between the smoothie beer and a Danimal. Like, that's what it reminded me of, because that tartness can give off kind of that yogurty flavor too. It was, and this wasn't even your beer. I don't even remember whose it was. I know it wasn't a Barrel Culture smoothie, but that's what it reminded me of. And I'm like, man, and Witt was like, dude, I love drinking these things. So it's interesting. Like, he loves them, but he said he loves them because they are so thick and heavier that it slows him down. And he's like, I'll sip on this over the course of like an hour while I'm talking to people. That's why I like drinking it.
Yeah.
So it's just, like I said, if you love it or hate it, you're still, you got to do what sells, and there's definitely a market for it. I just wanted to know like what people's thoughts are, especially on this beer. I think this beer is kind of all over the place with how people feel about it.
To tie it back to the mills, the reason that we even started doing it was because we were out at the mills and they have a batch pasteurizer out there. Yeah. And it's the only reason we were like, well, let's just jump in this game. If people are doing this is what people want to buy. And
let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we hear this word pasteurization, whatever. Most craft beer is, at least most local craft beer is not pasteurized. What does it mean for somebody who has no idea what it means to pasteurize something? And what does it do for the product?
It stops the development of the beer.
What's the process? Like, how do you pasteurize something?
There's a million different ways.
How do you guys use yours?
We use a batch pasteurizer. That's an old steam pasteurizer they use for meat. And it's out of the mills. There are four.
Are you saying steamed hams?
Yeah. All right. There are three racks that hold, you can fit about 20 cases each on them. We package, label, pack tech, and then load everything onto the racks. And we run a pasteurization cycle on there. Different breweries use
basically just like flash heating them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what kind of units you're looking to get, right? There's different pasteurization units. Depending on, like, milk, for example, is going to be way more heavily pasteurized than, you know, a heavy jam, for example. But, yeah, usually, you know, bring it up to 145 degrees and hold it for 40 minutes or so.
Okay, so you hold it for that long. So it's not really a flash process. It's drawn out for a little bit.
So you're telling me people don't want to drink this anymore? That's what you're telling me.
No, I'm not telling you that.
The consumer's telling you that. People don't want to drink this.
That's wild to me because this is insanely good. Yeah.
I think that people see. I think everything is cyclical in beer. Like, I think people do. I think people absolutely would want to drink it. It's about getting it in their hands and convincing them to do it.
And it's
first.
A time and place. And,
yeah,
you're not going to drink that after work every day.
I don't know,
Ethan,
man.
Doesn't he drinks 99% hazy IPAs? Yeah. He said that. I wanted to get back to the pasteurization
At
thing.
At some
real
point,
quick.
We'll get back to brewed IPAs.
Kidding. I don't know if that. I think that shit
is, it was a joke.
Sailed the dry seas,
no,
Joe.
Yes, I know. Bud Dry will come back.
Oh, that would be amazing. So, back to these fruited sours, and the importance of pasteurization. There are several that have. If you're on any beer bro pages or anything like that, you see these shelf bombs, right? Where if they're not pasteurized, people are pleading, please keep these cold, right? Because if they start getting too warm, you get secondary fermentation and CO2 is releasing and there's nowhere for it to go and that can's going to explode and it happens on the shelf. And because these have fruit in them, they make a mess. They're a
happens
sticky
on the
mess
shelf,
to clean
happens
up.
In your kitchen, happens
right,
everywhere.
Right. So pasteurization adds to shelf stability.
Yes.
A little bit, correct? But still good idea because there's fruit in here to keep these things cold.
And it can extend to other styles. It doesn't necessarily just the fruited sour stuff because, for example,
if you dry hop a beer, it's a lot of times there's secondary fermentation with dry hopping a beer.
Yeah.
It happens.
But I was thinking more along the lines of like barrel-aged stout or barrel-aged beers where you want to kill off anything that's still living in that beer and that pasteurizer so you don't have that beer change over time into something that you didn't intend it to be.
Yep.
So you know, and that doesn't, like, that's not just fruited sours out there for us. We've run stout through there. And
you bring up barrel-aged stouts. Jack Handler was talking about on a podcast a couple of years ago, when you're barrel-aged from Jack's Abbey, when you're barrel-aging something, you're infecting that beer whether you want to or not. And it's just a matter of fact and how deeply it goes. So pasteurizing is a great idea for that.
Yeah, and I mean, speaking from Hopfly's standpoint, I mean, that's been a huge asset of the Rocky Mountain facility that's, frankly, just really, really expensive to replicate, you know?
Sure.
So you think about 98% of breweries doing less than 2,000 barrels a year, you want whatever, 20% of that, 400 barrels a year to be fruited sour, like, you're not going to spend $100,000 on a pasteurizer.
Right.
That's not going to make sense. But this is a very unique, I mean, this is a very unique way where you can come out here and, like, you grab two tanks, you can package fruited sours and you can pasteurize them. And I mean, and for us, that was like, I mean, that was the barrier to entry. We were like, we're never going to do this.
Right.
And I think kind of like Ethan and his team, we were like, well, as soon as we can pasteurize and we can make them shelf stable, we know we're not sending, you know, porch bombs out into the market. Well, you know, we'll go for it. We'll give it a try.
How many breweries are still are though? Just taking the chances. There's a lot of
I think
there's a lot less now. I think there's
because they get called out.
Well, it's because there's like for example, you can sorbate, like that's another like way of that people are, it's cheaper and people are using to kill off yeast. So like there's some other ways of doing it now.
Explain.
I'm not going to be able to technically.
You said sorbet like
sorbet,
the dessert.
Like I think a potassium sorbet, is that what?
Not
orange sulfite, sorbet.
Yeah. I think, but yeah, it's like wines that have sulfites and all that.
Gotcha,
right?
Gotcha.
It's a preservative, and it can inhibit certain bacterial growth.
Sure.
That's a whole other realm if you want to put that in your beer, but it's in 99% of wine that people drink. So
yeah, we actually had to get my sister-in-law some kind of thing that removes the sulfites.
I know you have to put that on the label.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, you do have to put it on.
Because it gives her a headache.
Yeah, you do have to put it on a label.
But then you can pasteurize in your, I mean, you can pasteurize in your mash tun.
Sure.
I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to do it without having, I feel like more people are, especially in the fruited sour game, are trying to do
that way
because.
Especially as people do it, if you don't and you're one that is getting exploding cans, you get known for that, that's hard to recover from.
Yeah. So as we get ready to start wrapping things up, real quick on Rocky Mount to tie it back to the start of this conversation. I feel like Rocky Mount's always in a state of evolution in terms of what we want to do with things. It's a very Capital Broadcasting thing to do.
Full disclosure.
What's that?
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. We have, I can speak to it personally. You know, we have these great ideas and then we work around those. Like this beer podcast somehow, if we're still doing it, I don't know why. Why are we still doing this?
7.5 years strong.
Yeah. Like at some point, somebody at Capital will be like, y'all can stop now. But apparently not. Regardless, I'm just looking for an out, honestly. I've been with these
Adam
guys
and I can
long.
Just keep it going, Joe. No,
you guys have podcast equipment now. You're good.
This is not happening.
You guys have Carrie.
This is not happening.
You guys have your Carrie podcast.
Let's wrap it up.
You have your Carrie podcast. You got your equipment. You don't even
listen
anymore.
Download and listen to Carrie Work, Live, Work, Play, please.
Where are things now with Rocky Mount? Like River and Twine has been successful. People want to hang out in those tiny houses. And like Adam jokes, you can just walk around with beer and whatnot and have a good old time.
Completely serious.
No, yeah, what'd you call it earlier?
It's the Vegas of Eastern North Carolina.
Yeah, it really is.
That's right.
It's fine. Like you can just do everything you need to do.
Craft tables out there.
In Rocky Mount. If you want to hang out, go eat, what is it? The Tipsy Tomato, crush some pizza.
You got the Prime Smokehouse out there now.
Yeah, you can walk right by the breweries and they'll tell you where the Prime Smokehouse is. And then, don't follow the signs.
And then you can just stumble back to the tiny house. You're good to go. So it really is a fun spot. So
big shout out to River and Twine. That is a good time.
Yeah, River and Twine's growing?
From what I understand, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
more tiny
stuff.
Houses, which
yeah,
is
more,
good.
More, news
more
to
tiny
come.
Houses or just new houses that are medium-sized houses?
This is, yes, schmediums.
Either way is gross.
Schmediums. So that's good. Anything else that people need to be aware of with, like, just going there and spending an overnight?
Yeah, I mean, the whole campus is really just something you gotta come and experience.
Okay.
Especially with all, you know, 8 different breweries there, and soon enough going to have beer on from all the 8 different breweries that you can try there.
Gotcha.
Not to mention, you know, the bottle shop tap rooms and all the different restaurants. Mm-hmm. But being on the Tar River also just provides such a great space, right? Whether you're a fisherman or you just want, you know, to enjoy the nature out there, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, we had a we got to get back out there.
Well, it was, good time. Was it Tar River Outfitters? They do like tubing and stuff like that too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I believe they do.
Yeah, so that's
good summertime.
It is. It is. So so go check that out.
Yeah, some fly fishing out there. I mean, Tar River bass, striper are running right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, beautiful, gotcha. Beautiful fish.
Very, very cool.
But a lot, you know, a lot of exciting change happening with hot fly slowly transitioning out, mm-hmm. you know, and growing up. It's really exciting, you know, and we've got, you know, close just about 150 barrels of fermenter capacity mm-hmm. that as hot fly phases out, will be opening up, right? And so we're open and available to any and all breweries that are looking for additional capacity.
Yeah, come on down. It's a good spot. Everything's growing. And like I always like to say too, especially from the Triangle perspective, people think Rocky Mount, man, that seems like it's a far... No, it's only 45 minutes away.
Yeah, and it's right off 64. It's right can't off... be more convenient.
I mean, the 64 bypass makes it incredibly easy to get out to Rocky Mount Mills. So so go check that out. Well, thanks for hanging out, guys. Appreciate you bringing the beer, and everything was great as always. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
What do we got coming up next week?
Well, we're kind of staying in the Charlotte scene. Resident Culture will be here next week.
Okay. All the culture.
Yeah.
For the culture.
We're still talking Charlotte, and we're talking about culture. So
I love it.
Resident Culture.
We're all about the culture, you know.
Yes, yeah. Totally. Beer culture, yes. All right, so that'll come up next week. If you miss anything, we got a whole bunch of podcasts with a variety of breweries that have come through, so go check those out on the podcast feed, and we'll see you all next week.
Cheers. Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.